Canucks Central Wednesday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canucks Central brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. That would be tonight, Canucks and LA Kings, so you can head over to your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza, enjoy the game with the Canucks on the road and hoping to have their captain back in the lineup, officially listed as a game-time decision. Feels like if this were the NFL, he'd get the probable tag, but I mean, I would have said that on the weekend, and I would have been wrong, so.
Quinn, please come back. It has not been fun the last couple of games watching and analyzing this team without Quinn Hughes. So just please come back and play hockey for the team.
We miss the way that you dance on the blue line, as yes. Rick Tocchet put it.
Do we need to apologize on behalf of the organization or something? Like, what do we need to do for him to play? Just kidding.
Well, I mean, that was some shady business, according to Brady Tkachuk, was it not?
Well, he said shady business, and also we all know where their allegiances were or something along those lines. Like, yeah. He made it seem like, you know, a Canadian team didn't want Quinn Hughes to go because they didn't want the U.S. to win or something, but I don't think Quinn was allowed to play anyways, so I don't know if anybody told Brady that Quinn wasn't eligible to play regardless, but yeah.
Have you ever noticed that Brady Tkachuk kind of looks like the giant baby meme?
Yeah, especially from that angle, right? Like, it all depends on, like, the video angle. And in general, this is just a note to anybody. If you're recording something, it's never a nice angle having the camera face up.
Yes.
You know?
You don't want that. No, yeah. Don't need to see your nose hairs. Come on.
It's not the most flattering angle.
Put the phone, put your laptop, whatever camera you're using, put it elevated to your eye level, so it can just do us all a little bit of a favor. But yeah, even though Brady Tkachuk could absolutely probably kill me with one punch,
yeah,
he still looks like the giant baby in the meme.
I could probably take him.
Yeah.
I think this is your overconfidence talking yet again.
Maybe.
Josh.
Maybe.
Yeah, Josh, like, I think if I get one clean right hook.
I probably have the agility smaller.
You definitely don't have agility.
I don't have that.
You're probably out cold already just by having that thought. Like, yeah.
So, it's not like Brady's just this big lug. Like, he's a really good skater. He's a really good athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
So.
Yeah.
We'll see.
You'd be toast.
We'll see.
All right, let's get into it. Canucks and LA Kings, it's the Open.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
The Open on Canucks Central, where we bring the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the latest is not really an update with Brock Besser, but the latest from Ian McIntyre. We knew IMAC was working on a Besser piece as he was asking Rick Tocchet about Brock Besser, and he sort of alluded to it yesterday in his hit with us here on Canucks Central, and it dropped today at sportsnet.ca. And, you know, Brock has maintained the same stance basically in this entire process as an unrestricted free agent. He wants to remain a Vancouver Canuck. And this was the quote from the piece today. I mean, I understand it's a business. I feel like I'm a pretty loyal guy, and I feel like that should speak for itself. But it's a business, and that's just how things operate. We all know the three options that could happen: trade, resign, or neither. If nothing happens and July 1st comes around, I still think I'm in a good spot. But I've talked to you and definitely been open about, you know, how much I love it in Vancouver. So yeah, it's actually frustrating that nothing's got done. End quote from Brock Besser. And to me, that sounds like the first blink maybe in the staring contest, as this has started to get a little bit more public now as we get closer to the big trade deadline next Friday. And Besser's the first one to blink here. I know exactly what the Canucks are doing. They're waiting this out. They're holding a cone of silence, and they're going to give Brock their best offer at some point in the next week and a bit in the lead up to the deadline, and hope that Brock takes it, because they know it's going to be a below market value contract. And if it's a no, then Brock is probably going to be moved out of Vancouver. But it feels like Brock has made the first blink to me in this negotiation.
Yeah, I mean, I think what it shows is he still wants to stay. Like, he's not put off by how this has gone. He's frustrated, yes, and he's surprised that they are where they are, but it hasn't dissuaded him from wanting to stay here.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's my big takeaway from it, because he's always stated he wants to stay. Right. And I think him saying that now, despite everything going on, is just another firm, you know, message to the team. Like, hey, guys, like, I want to stay here. So if you guys want to keep me, like, let's talk. Let's do something here. And like I said, I do think we're going to see some discussions here. And you're right. The Canucks have been waiting for an opportune time to make an offer. And I think they knew all along that if they present their best offer, or the offer that they're thinking a few months ago, that it wasn't going to get signed, especially in the offseason. So it was, let's let the season play out. Let's get closer to the deadline, and then we'll make a decision here. But it is going to be less than what he can get elsewhere, most likely.
Yeah.
My question is, are they willing to move off 5 years? And I think that's for Besser too. Like, is Besser willing to stay here for five? Now, if you give him nine per year over five,
yeah,
that's like $45 million. That's still a lot of money, but
if I'm Besser, I'd almost rather shorter term than 5 years. Because 5 years puts you kind of,
right,
what, 33? So you're not really going to be anybody's first choice in free agency when you're 33 years old.
Right. But it seems like he wants term. So what's important to Besser here, right? And I think we'll see here over the next little while. But clearly he wants to stay. And I think, like I said last week, the Canucks want to see, I mean, obviously in every negotiation, you want to get the best number, right? But the Canucks, I think, want to see, like, how badly he truly wants to stay in Vancouver. And it's risky, because you can risk pissing the player off.
Yeah.
But he's not there.
He's clearly not there. You know, he's starting to get frustrated, as he mentioned, with Ian McIntyre. And, you know, if you've ever been ghosted, you know, it can be kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
You're watching the stories and being like, hey, man, you didn't respond to my text, but you're going out with everybody else. That's kind of what it feels like is happening here, right? They didn't waste any time signing Marcus Pettersson. They didn't waste any time signing Drew O'Connor. They didn't waste any time getting Kevin Lankinen done once it was like, we probably want to do this, so let's get Kevin Lankinen done. We'll come up to his number. And Brock's sitting there like, they know what my number is and they're not coming up to mine.
Yeah.
So what's exactly going on here? So I can, like, it's obviously, there's no way it can't be frustrating.
Of course
for
it's
Brock
frustrating
right
but
now.
And I get, like, you know, fans saying the same thing, but the Besser contract is a bigger number on the AAV and most likely term and total money than any of the other contracts they've signed. And we know they still need more to their forward group.
But to me, that's almost irrelevant to the point, because if they were hellbent on bringing Brock Besser back, they come up to the number.
I mean, yes.
Like, they did it with Filip Hronek. They did it with all these other guys, right?
Okay, well, Phil Hronek was a little bit different.
Yeah.
Hey, Phil Hronek took till the draft, remember?
Like, yeah.
And
he was a restricted free agent, so that's probably the biggest difference two negotiations.
Yeah, but there was also, like, it got to the draft, and there was a sense of, if he doesn't sign, we might have to move him.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't going to go into the final year of his contract, right?
Yeah.
And they were going to figure something out with him. It was either, let's sign a contract, or we're going to trade you, most likely. And that's the deadline you're hitting now with Besser too, right? And I think you have to get Besser at a team-friendly number. Like, we talk, how much time have we spent on the Canucks and how poor they are offensively, how they need more offensively?
We're about to do it again in a few minutes.
Yeah. But, like, they
need
more.
For the third time this week, and it's the third day of the week.
And I think everyone knows how everyone feels about Besser.
Yeah.
Right? But at the same time, we know what he is and what he isn't. He'd be a nice player to keep at the right number because he can score goals, but they need better players than Besser. They need to have space to sign better players than Besser.
At the end of the day, he's still a complimentary piece.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yes, he's a very good complimentary piece. He's a guy that you can count on if he plays the right amount of games to be in and around the 30 goal mark. So you feel very good about all those bars with Besser, given his career and his general range of production. But it does come down to the number, and it comes down to the term. Do they go into the $8 million on the AAV if the term is low enough? Maybe that's something that they would consider, but it's very clear that the Canucks want this to be at a number that they feel comfortable with so that they can go out and add to the offense on top of Besser rather than eating up extra cap space and extra term down the line that may hinder them from doing so.
So depending on, you know, you want to go with a 22-man roster, a 23-man roster, but the Canucks have roughly, let's round it up and say $11 million for two players. Maybe 12 if they go with a lesser, you know, 22-man roster instead. But they also want to have a cushion. So let's just say 11 for argument's sake, right? $11
million. So if you're spending eight on Besser, that leaves three.
Yeah. Now you can move other money out, like we talked about, and they most likely will. But if you want to add like a big piece, you got to move a couple guys.
Yeah.
You know, so if you get Besser at seven, all of a sudden that's four.
Mm-hmm.
And then you move Soucy, that's 7.25. And if you want to go to 22, then now it's $8 million. Now you can be in the market for a really big piece and you're not that far off clearing a bit more to go after maybe even somebody in free agency like a Marner or like a Rantanen if he ends up getting there.
Yeah.
Now, very unrealistic on either player. But the point I'm trying to illustrate here is if you get Besser signed to a number under eight, for instance, or if you don't go long term, and the number is bigger, you have other options to look at, right? But I think the Canucks, like I mentioned yesterday, a lot of pieces could be moving out here over the next 6 to 8 months.
Not a lot of long-term fits on the roster, as we discussed yesterday on Canuck Central. So Brock, clearly frustrated that nothing's got done and is trying to keep his focus on the season as it stands. And the season, I mean, the out-of-town scoreboard not working in favor of the Canucks. Utah won last night. They're just 2 points back, even with a couple extra games played. Calgary won, so they officially take over the top wild or the second wild card spot. They move ahead of the Canucks in the standings for the time being. We'll see what happens tonight with the Canucks and the LA Kings. But Besser said something that I found interesting. And I know it's the sentiment that's been around the coaching staff and around the team and around the locker room over the last couple of weeks since they made the trades. But Besser said they've played some of their best defensive hockey of the year and that, well, here's the quote. "I thought we were really playing some good hockey before the break. I know the goals haven't come, but I truly feel that our defensive game has been the best it's been all year. And if we start getting the scoring, then we can win some games in a row." End quote. Agree or disagree with Brock Besser?
Well, I think they have been better defensively and more steady in general with the addition of Marcus Patterson.
Yeah.
Now, Quinn hasn't been there. I think forward-wise, they've generally been better defensively. Now, they've had some moments here and there, of course, but I don't think he's wrong. But the issue has never really been their defensive side of things.
Yeah.
But I think not only has Marcus Patterson come in, but I think Junior, like the coach is also calling him, Elias Patterson, he's clearly starting to earn the trust of the team, right? And I think not only the coaches, but the players as well. And he's making a positive impact when he's out there. It's smaller, but we look at it now, even with Quinn Hughes out, and Myers had a couple tough games, right? You can pin a lot of the issues on Myers, and Susie's had his problems. But Pedersen's been solid. Elias Pedersen's been solid. Hronek's been outstanding. Forbert's been decent.
Yeah.
Like defensively, even without Quinn, like they've been solid. You add Quinn to the equation, everybody else slots down even to a better spot. All of a sudden, like it should be the strength of this team.
So he's not wrong in saying that they've been playing really well defensively. If you just look at scoring chances, they are top five in the league. Scoring chances against per 60 minutes since they made the trades, since they shipped out JT Miller, brought in Marcus Patterson and Drew O'Connor. And Filip Hedl, of course. So those are all good signs. There was a point where the defense had really dropped off, though. Like, it had been good. You know, we started seeing earlier in the season, defensively, they were good. They were still among the better teams at not conceding scoring chances. But they lost that, you know, somewhere along the way in December and in January. They did lose that, and that was pretty evident. They were very disconnected towards the end of the JT Miller era here in Vancouver. I'm not putting that on him. I'm just saying the team as a whole was disconnected and their defensive numbers started to bear that out. But right now, since they made those trades, top five in scoring chances against. The problem is, as has often been the case with this team and with this core through the years, they can't seem to mold good defense and good offense at the same time. Outside of like certain stretches, certainly the early part of Rick Tocchet's era, they were able to do that. The Boudreau era, they scored, but you know they needed to be bailed out by great goaltending in order to have that scoring mean anything, because they were just basically having to outscore their defensive issues. And towards the end of the Travis Green era, they could defend, but they could not score for the life of them. So like we're going back years now of this team showing similar traits that they can't do both at the same time. And yes, they're top five in scoring chances against per 60, but they're also bottom five in scoring chances for per 60. And I know what it comes down to. It comes down to Quinn Hughes being in the lineup and getting more out of Elias Pettersson, but they need to maintain this level of defense and just get to middle of the pack of generating offense. And now you're talking about a team that can win consistently. But I just don't have a ton of confidence that we're going to see that, Sats.
Middle of the pack? They're at the bottom. How are they going to jump to the middle of the pack? Middle of the pack is like three steps.
So they're like below 25 scoring chances a game, which is a very low number. Like that is a very, very low number. They are right now at 24.3 since they moved off of JT Miller.
Okay.
The top teams in the league are at like 35.
They're miles away.
Yeah.
Miles away.
So getting into the middle is not that big of a jump. It's like we're talking four or five scoring chances more a game per 60 minutes.
That's, I don't know. That's still...
Does Quinn Hughes make that up all on his own? Like
no.
you still need Elias Pettersson.
Exactly. That's what it's going to come down to. If he comes back, then yes. But then we're back to talking about Pettersson again.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of over it.
Yeah.
At least that Pettersson.
It's like it's like we're on the merry-go-round sometimes with the show. It's just like just keep going around in circles until eventually you get back onto the biggest issue with the team. It's Elias Pettersson.
It all kind of ties in, right?
Like this is why he hates the media, you know? Yeah. Or sorry. Doesn't hate us. He's annoyed by
annoyed
us.
Annoyed by us. Yes. Yeah, sure.
To be factual about it.
And I don't know. It's just, offensively, if you want to talk about them making any significant improvements, it comes down to him.
Yeah.
And also making an addition by the deadline. And for all this talk about the Canucks potentially trading players, are they able to find the player they've been looking for by the deadline?
Yeah.
Like it's kind of become a secondary story with everything else going on with the team, and the fact that, you know, Besser's situation and Pettersson's struggles and all these things going on, Hughes being out. But like that search continues for that impact player, and they would love to add it as soon as possible.
Yeah.
It's just hard to do.
It feels like, as Nick Kiprio said today, there's a lineup around the corner of people calling the Buffalo Sabres for Dylan Cousins, so I'm not sure that's something that still is on the Canucks radar. St. Louis may be open for business right now and trying to capitalize on some of the good vibes around their players. Jordan Binnington, Colton Parayko, maybe Jordan Kyrou becomes available. But you're going to have to pony up to add that impact player. We all know that. It was interesting to hear Tocchet today talking about the defense, and was asked essentially if Carson Soucy's getting back into the lineup and how he's trying to deploy and manage a young player like Elias Pettersson, DPD. And it was pretty interesting to hear how he is, he doesn't really like the idea of taking DPD out of the lineup all that much. Here it is.
First of all, you do the pauses. Like I've liked Junior Pettersson's game. I don't want to, it's not like he's going to play every game, but I don't want to keep yanking him out. I think he's done a nice job. So you want to see the arrow keep going. So I think it's important that he stays in. And then from there, that sixth spot is competition. That's, we've got, I don't know how many games, 20-something games left, and, you know, we need people to get going, and that's what happens, competition. So hopefully when you have that competition, it ignites some guys.
And the question was mostly around Soucy.
Yeah.
And that's what was interesting about him just like kind of leaning into DPD.
Yeah. it was interesting to hear that angle taken by Rick Tocchet. There's a couple things. Obviously, if you're listening to that clip, it sounds like DPD staying in the lineup, right? And two, given that it was framed in a way about Carson Soucy, he's not feeling like Carson Soucy is living up to the, hey, your roster spot, your spot in the lineup is very much in doubt on a night-to-night basis. And He's clearly not feeling that Carson Soucy has felt the kick in the behind, as he alluded to before the Four Nations faceoff.
Yeah, and I mean, he did play well coming back into the lineup, but then he had a couple of tough games. You know, he had the tough game.
I mean,
a lot
of people had a tough night in Vegas, right?
Yeah, so he had a tough game and doesn't have a lot of confidence, right? Because he's back out of the lineup right away, and then Mancini's in, and now if Quinn Hughes plays, he doesn't get in.
Yeah.
Because the coach likes DPD.
Well, and your six defensemen, you have Hughes, Hronek, Pettersson, Myers, and now you're choosing two spots between Soucy, Mancini, DPD, and Derek Forbert.
Yeah. And Forbert's going to stay in based on everything we've kind of seen here.
Yeah. So only two guys are playing out of Soucy, Mancini, DPD, and Forbert. And if DPD's going in, I'm imagining, like, Forbert's the guy that I feel is their fifth defenseman right now. He's earned that right.
Yeah, and they like him defensively. He's good on the PK.
And so the only issue here is, like, do you go with two lefties or do they keep Mancini in the lineup as a righty? Like, that's my only question right now.
No, if Hughes plays, we know Mancini's not going in.
Yeah.
Like, he just said he wants Elias Pettersson to play, right?
Yeah.
So it's, if he's in, I'd be surprised if anybody else comes out, right?
It's Soucy and Mancini likely watching from the press box.
Yeah, and Soucy, we're getting close to the deadline. Does he has a no trade clause this season. It changes after this season, but does he get a little squirrely?
As he said before, he said he wants to make it work, but they would reevaluate as they get closer.
Yeah.
How much are you reevaluating right now?
Well, if Hughes comes back and let's say Elias Pettersson continues playing well.
Yeah.
Now let's say tomorrow night Mancini gets in.
Yeah.
Let's say they give Elias the night off, because he did say, I'm not saying he's going to stay into every game, but they're clearly giving him runway here.
Yeah.
They like what they've seen. They want him to grow and they want him to get this experience. They value what he's bringing and they value what he can become with the experience he's getting. Maybe he comes out tomorrow, but Soucy may not get in anyways.
Soucy is in a really tight spot, and it feels like he's getting squeezed a little bit. And, you know, as we've talked about in the past, it's obvious, like, yes, the Canucks want the cap space and want to reallocate that cap space probably to the forward group that Carson Soucy is currently eating up. But could they use the asset to go and help them get something else if they were to get, I don't know, ballpark it at a third round pick for Carson Soucy? That would be something interesting to see as well. All right, quickly in the Canucks Central roundup, Canucks and Kings, Kevin Lankinen getting the start. Lines expected to be a little different from what they were against Utah Sunday night. Why wouldn't they be? Canucks have only scored two goals in their last two games. Höglander getting the bump up to play with Pettersson and DeBrusk. Hedl with Joshua and Garland. Suter, O'Connor, Besser as your third line. Bluger, Baines, Sherwood as the fourth line. D pairs were like this in practice. Hughes, Hronek, Marcus Pettersson, Myers, as mentioned earlier, Soucy, Mancini, DPD, and Forbert as the two bottom pairs with the 8D on the roster. Hughes is probable, officially a game time decision, and it's going to be interesting. Kevin Lankinen gets back in. Also, Rick Tocchet said he was really impressed with Shelov's and wouldn't be afraid to go back to him tomorrow night against Anaheim.
Yeah, they kind of have to.
Yeah.
I doubt very much that it's going to be such an easy night for Lankinen. They're like, yeah, just play tomorrow.
Kings have five goals in back-to-back games since the break.
Yeah. Byfield's been playing a bit better too.
Kevin Fiala's red hot.
Yeah. So, and it might be a low event game. Don't get me wrong. That's how the Kings are. But there's going to be some enough scoring chances that I think we will see Shelov's tomorrow.
I hate to break it to you, Sat, but the Canucks are more of a low event team than the LA Kings are.
No, I know. It could be a really low event hockey game.
We can't put the low eventness on the LA Kings. It's more a Canucks. It's a product of the Canucks more than the Kings.
For
right
sure,
now.
But the Kings are also can be a low event team. Yes. So you get two, you know,
a
teams.
Thrilling that, game tonight.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You got the Canucks who are the lowest event team with another team that is prone to playing low event hockey.
Yes, should be a barn burner. Well, hopefully Quinn Hughes is dancing on the blue line, and we'll at least get some of that.
Let's hope so. Like, honestly, just play, please.
Kevin Woodley going to join us coming up. Sportsnet 650 and Waypoint Insurance want to give you the ultimate Vancouver hockey experience on March 15th. Chicago and their young megastar are in Vancouver. You could win a chance to see it live, plus an overnight stay at a luxury hotel in Vancouver. Whether it's a home game or a road trip, Waypoint is always the right call for your home, business, or auto insurance. Top shelf insurance and a top shelf hockey fan experience. Enter now on the contest page at sportsnet.ca/650. Contest will close this Sunday, March the 2nd. Woodley, the goalie guru, joins us next on Canuck Central.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.